Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Going Old School Show. Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you. It's only been a couple of days, a little under 48 hours since you last talked, but a lot's gone on since then, guys. June 17th, 2022, we are live on blogtalkradio.com, and it's 6 p.m. sharp here on the East Coast. And let's bring in the boys, if I will, starting with JC, Mr. John Crow, one of the co-hosts here. Jay, how are you doing today, Johnny?
What's up? Happy Friday, and the thunderstorms rolled in, and thankfully rolled off.
Yes, I blinked and they were gone. Thank you, God. Thank you very much. I'll always welcome that. Bye-bye. See you later. Hope I don't see you anytime soon. The other guy, the other man, Joe Foran, joined us as well with the three-headed monster. Joe, thanks for your time today, buddy. What's going on?
What's going on, boys? Just think, tomorrow it will be 50 degrees in Worcester Hills. 50 degrees in June. Oh, wait, and they have a 5K road. They have a road race at Mount Washington Roadway tomorrow.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
With a chance of snow.
Put the chains on your tires, people. You're going to need them going up and down Mount Washington. That is for darn sure. Be that as it may.
Got to love New England.
Yep, got to love New England. More or not. Anyway, we're here. We're stuck with it, but it's all good. Guys, obviously we're going to talk. As people who listen to the show, we go into the classroom, and these guys talk to me about wrestling into the squared circle. But there's a lot going on in the world of wrestling, specifically the WWE. And we'll get into that later on in the show with my boys here, because they take me in the classroom, sometimes behind the woodshed, and beat it into me. But they always talk some good wrestling. Lou's on the line, so Lou's going to hold until we get to our opening thoughts. Lou, thanks for calling in. But we have to talk about, obviously, the NBA Finals, which have now come and gone. And if you're a sports fan and you've lived in a cave, you still know what the final was. The Warriors beat the Celtics in Game 6, and thus far won their fourth title in 8 years. It's hard to think, guys, just 3 years ago, they were 15-50 and in last place. But a lot's come on since then. We'll talk about what holds for the future for the Warriors and the Celtics, but we do want to break the game down last night. I'll start with you, JC. 14-2, it looked pretty good. A couple minutes in, I worked a little bit. I got home, and I went and took a shower when it was 14-2. About 5-6 minutes later, I got out, and it was a total different story. In the midst of a 21-0 run, the game, the half ended with the Warriors on a 52-25 run, and it was a 15-point advantage, and they never looked back, JC. It was crazy. Hindsight looked like it was over early, and if you did pack it in early, you thought there was some semblance of a comeback. They just couldn't muster enough. But your thoughts on a very disappointing Game 6 if you're a Boston Celtics fan?
Yeah, I think disappointing, you know, kind of speaks volumes for this group that deserved more than losing their final three games of the season, losing a chance at an NBA Finals. And we'll dissect everything, and there's a lot of self-infliction for the Celtics side, but I just want to say, first and foremost, give a tremendous amount of credit to the Golden State Warriors. Curry, Kerr, Thompson, Green, that whole team seized the moment when it was there to be taken. And if you told me, as a Celtics fan, that the Warriors would not score more than 108 points in any game, I would love the Celtics' chance,
yep.
Especially with the defense they've been playing all season since January. But it's the same old story, you know. It's that, you know, Friday the 13th movie that we've seen over and over. Turn the ball over too much, 22 turnovers last night, 97 for the series. You got out-rebounded on the boards, 44-41. 15 offensive rebounds for Golden State. And you mentioned it, the runs. I mean, in this series, they were amazing, especially in the last three games. In Game 4, the Celtics were up by 4, got outscored 17-3. Game 5, the Celtics up 5 in the third quarter, got outscored 13-0. And then last night, bang, a 21-0 run on their home floor. Embarrassing. Udoka tried to stop it. Three times he called timeout during that 21-0 couldn't happen. And the Celtics made a, you know, had their little run there, but let's be honest, after that 21-0 run, things pretty much over.
Yeah.
Thank God I was sleeping and fell and wasn't watching when they fell apart, at the wheels fell off. And just before we bring somebody else on, just so you know, see, how'd the Brooklyn Nets and how'd the New York Knicks do? Just curious, you know, just ask. Just ask for a friend, that's all. But other than that, I mean, I can't believe that.
What a piece of work you are. With that, Joe, you know, it's a good segue. That was good you said that, because let's bring in Lou from New Jersey. Ironically enough, that you mentioned the New York metropolitan area. Lou in New Jersey,
thanks.
Do you want to respond to Joe? Go ahead, Lou.
Can't be glad to. Well, first of all, I am not a Celtics fan, so I'm sorry that, you know, for you Celtics fan out there, I'm sorry. Well, not really. But the Warriors just had all the right cylinders. They had all the right, moves. That's how they were able to do it. I mean, you know, once they got all their full players back and healthy, especially Clay, you knew there was going to be something happening here. And, you know, this little mishap they had the last 3 years from the 2019 injury. Well, that seems all forgotten now, and the Warriors are back as champs. And when you turn the ball over 22 times, chances are you're not going to win a game anyway. So that was your big mistake right there. They made too many turnovers, too many mistakes. Their defense was, well, shabby at best, and that's how you blew it.
And you guys want to respond? Joe? Go ahead, Joe.
No, hey, shabby, no. Shabby at best. I don't think holding the Golden State Warriors to 110 points or less in every single game in the finals shabby, but that's beside the point. It's our offense that couldn't get their hands out of the jock strap long enough to score some points. But our defense was where it needed to be. Our defense played championship defense enough. The offense just couldn't get its head out of its butt. I mean, 22 turnovers.
Yeah.
It's like we all know that 16 turnovers is the magic number for the Celtics, and they couldn't stay underneath it. So, you know. Hey, is next year, let's make some corrections, make some changes. And the future, I think, looks bright for them with a couple of minor tweaks. Well, call them minor, but they might be major. But I still think we've got a brighter future than a couple of other New York teams. Just saying.
Hello?
Yeah, but do you see anybody leaving?
Well, we'll get into that a little later on the show. I personally think that they may have to shake it up a little bit, because I think there's something trapped in that clubhouse. And the guys know who I do the show with, that I've been proponing that for now a couple of years. And it seems like it's reared its ugly head, and we'll get into that. But one thing I'm going to say, and Lou and John and Joe, you can respond to this, as good as the Celtic defense is and as good as they played, I think Golden State one-upped them in the past two games at certain spots. Because last night, I mean, turnovers notwithstanding, but that defense, I mean – Jason Tatum is they covered him like a blanket. In other words, I think the Warriors played exceptional defense that is not to be overlooked, especially after last night.
Agreed. I mean, Tatum should have gotten himself in the corners, because as soon as it didn't seem like he double-teamed him until he was in the corner. Once he was in either one of the wings, he got double-teamed. And he didn't get rid of the ball fast enough, which in turn was a turnover waiting to happen, because they picked their spots where they would double-team them, and they picked their spots well. Look, they had good help defense. No denying that. It's like they were vulnerable, but they took advantage of where it was. And, look, they showed their championship heart by taking advantage of the Celtics' mistake and pressuring the Celtics into mistakes. Look. They were a better team. They played better. They deserved it. Kudos to them. Now, nobody can question Curry's legacy right now. Nobody.
Yeah. Lou, any final thoughts and tell us where people can listen to you, though?
Yeah, I mean, nobody can question that legacy right there. I have to agree with that. So the number to call for tomorrow's show, my show it is, the Enhanced Sports Show, is 512-543-4662 from 5 to 7 p.m. at East Coast time. You know we're going to be discussing the finale of the NBA Finals. We'll also touch on the NHL Finals with the Avalanche up 1-0. This could be a nightmare for Tampa Bay. We'll also look in on the College World Series, which is going on, the U.S. Open Golf Tournament. I'll have an update on some World Cup soccer information for those of you soccer-crazed maniacs like myself, we hope. And it's our fifth annual salute to dads and grads. If you're a dad or a graduate, you know what I mean. So if you have time between 5 and 7 tomorrow, call the following number, 512-543-4662. And in case I don't get a chance to talk to you, have a happy Father's Day on Sunday.
You as well, Lou. Always a pleasure, man. Thanks for calling in. Have a great weekend. Be good.
Thanks.
That's Lou. All right, Lou called in, man. He said, I like Lou. He's going to always carve a little spot up for him. But we'll do a little short today because we're pressed for time. But, guys, we talked about it, TC. I want to talk about the defense. But let's start with the Celtics and what we saw last night. And I'm going to give Golden State some credit. But Mr. Jason Tatum, I mean, it's going to be a long offseason for this guy, but I'm going to read you guys something. I want to get your thoughts on what we saw last night, and more importantly, what we saw in the series, because his production seemed to get worse with each game, with each series. But is it injury? Because we saw a Jason Tatum that was basically a no-show last night. JC, I'll start with you.
Yeah, he got progressively worse game by game, and he just seemed dazed, confused, lost out there, especially last night. I mean, as a superstar, you know, he came out, took a couple of shots early, got him, you know, helped around with everybody else, especially Jaylen Brown getting to a 14-2 lead. But that second half, you know, he's sitting there at 11 points. He gets one basket on a great assist from Rob Williams with a great pass. He dunks it. And that's it. He didn't make a field goal the rest of the way. And what kills you in this series is, you know, the fourth quarter where they lost the majority of these games. He scored a combined 18 points in six games of these fourth quarters. And we talked about it, you know, right from the get-go. Was the moment too big? Obviously it was. You know, mentally it was too big for him. You know, I'm going to discount injury, whatever. Everyone's got their nicks and pains and all that stuff. You know, unless your arm's coming off, you play. So I don't want to hear, like, 2 days from now that, you know, he needs surgery and all this other stuff or some cockamamie excuse. He was out there. What I was surprised with, you expect your superstars to at least put forth the effort and play hard. And we just did not see that from Tatum. He got benched earlier last night instead of gunning out more. You saw Jimmy Butler play all 48 minutes, you know, when the Heat needed him the most in Game 6. Did it again in Game 7. You know, that's what your superstars are for. And, yeah, he is going to wear this series for the entire summer, the entire next season, or until he gets back into that stage. And unfortunately for the Celtics, and, you know, this stage is too big for them. You know, it's not an excuse. They still have the talent to win this series, but they just refused to make the adjustments that they needed to make. And when we talk about the defense for Golden State, kudos to them, because you know what? The Celtics never made an adjustment of Jaylen Brown spinning off into double teams, into crowd, Jason Tatum hunting fouls, you know, Marcus Smart not dishing the ball when he needs to. All that stuff fed right into what Golden State wants to do. And kudos for them because they recognized it. They knew the Celtics were stubborn, not going to make a change. So why change what they did on defense? Steve Kerr was great. Give them a double check mark because the one thing outside of X's and O's that Steve Kerr did that Udoka did not in this series was light a fire under his team's ass.
Yep.
After they were down 2-1. Remember, 94-90. Draymond Green, sit your ass on the bench.
Yep.
Lit a fire under him. You know, sitting him down early in the series. What'd he do? Game 4. Hello, I'm here. Game 5. Hello, I'm here. And last night, I mean, just look at his stat line. He's hitting threes, hit two threes last night. 12 points, 12 boards, 8 assists. Wouldn't you like to have that line from Jason Tatum at least?
Mm-hmm.
But he lit it up for not only him, Andrew Wiggins, Poole, who, by the way, most media people nationally said could not play in this series on
yep.
this level. He brought it each and every game. You know, so applause for Steve Kerr because it did not look good for them early.
No.
Game 4, down in Boston, could have easily went down 3-1. He got it done, and then they carried that chip on their shoulder, Game 5. And then Game 6, love, Stephen Curry's moxie. You know what, 14-2, I don't care. I'm going to shoot the lights out, get my team back in it, and then,
bingo.
Hey, put a ring on it, baby. And he was not
yeah.
going to let it go last night. So, you know, all the kudos. You said it to me last night on a text, Chips. You hope the Celtics, you know, watch every second of what Golden State celebrated last night.
Mm-hmm.
But the Warriors were out there for about an hour on the parquet floor. And the Celtics need to have this hurt.
Yep.
They need to have every ounce of this stay in the front lobe of their mind so that when they get back there, if they get back there, they understand what this means. Because if they don't internally get that, they're never going to get that next level.
I agree with you. It's like they need to learn from this and learn the hard way. And, like, you went 3 times to the NBA, to the Eastern Conference Finals, and couldn't get over that hump. Now you made it to the finals, and you can't go over that hump. What's it going to take for them to get to that next level? You've got to have a gut check, look in the mirror a moment, and every guy's going to look at what they've got to do to get better. And Jason Tatum needs to figure out what he needs to do to become the player he thinks he is or wants to be. All-NBA means squat unless you can get that ultimate championship. You can be All-NBA all you want, but if you can't lead a team to a championship, then you need to rise it to the next level, and he's going to figure out a way to get to the next level.
Sean Powell, a writer for NBA.com, has an article today called 6 Takeaways from the Series, and he goes to number 4, and this tells me – this is perfectly how I feel and how I look at Jason Tatum, and I think it's well said. I think it's spot on. So let me indulge you here, boys. He says, there are necessary stages – and talk about Tatum here. There are necessary stages to conquer before someone earns the right to be labeled a superstar. It's the rarest of basketball breeds, and any member of that club earns all the flowers and spoils that come with such a level of excellence. He goes on to say, Tatum isn't a card-carrying member just yet. This is what he learned about himself in the finals, and there's no particular shame in falling short. Plenty of others did before him, and most turned out just fine. Keep in mind that Tatum is just 24, and only this season made All-NBA first team. It's a process, and a tough one. To fit the definition of a superstar, you must be great on a consistent basis. Think LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Curry, etc. Tatum was not against the Warriors and was especially exposed in Game 6 when he went out meekly. He made 6 shots, had 5 turnovers, and scored just 13 points, his series low for a game. He was spooked by his constant mistakes, didn't even attempt a free throw, and wasn't heard from in the fourth. He will see Andrew Wiggins stealing his beach towel this summer. And that tells you all you need to know. It's a fine line. And I think that's partly because I think that's what Jason Tatum's mindset. I think he reads his press clippings. That I think he really believes he is a true superstar and a top 5 player in the NBA. Think it all you want. It's man in the mirror time for him all summer long, JC, like you said. This pain is going to be good, and I hope it cuts him deep, and it should, and he should come out firing guns. But like we said earlier, or the last podcast, if you're a all-NBA team and you're a superstar and you're in the finals, you have singly got to pick your team up and will them to victory in at least a game during the series. He didn't do it. He fell short, and now he's questioning himself, which he should. But I think Sean Powell is spot on with the comments, Jason.
Yeah, I totally agree with him. And my question going forward, not only for both of you, but for Jason Tatum, is does he want to be that bona fide leader? Does he have the mental capacity or want and desire to be able to do that? I mean, we kind of went through this with Paul Pierce, where he said, I want to be the leader because I play so well. But he didn't truly understand what being a leader was until he saw one walk through the door from Minnesota in Kevin Garnett.
Right.
And did it day in and day out. And the more and more I see of Jaylen Brown is, yeah, he's not as talented as Jason Tatum, but he has that wherewithal mentally to kind of step it up in the big moments like he did again last night, and has that more of that fire to him that you just wonder if those two, if the next stage, this year, they figured out how to play together, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got them this far. But they kind of acted like the finals was just another series. Okay, so maybe they learned that lesson, that they have another level. They have another mentality to get to. Maybe it's them two getting together, with or without Marcus Smart, who knows? We can, you know, go through that. But maybe Brown is the vocal leader, and, you know, Tatum can acquiesce. I don't know. It's a hard thing to kind of look forward to until you know where Tatum wants to be. And I'll be honest, it kills me watching last night that you had 36-year-old Al Horford playing his ass off.
Yep.
To try to just get something, to get it down to single digits. Brown fighting his ass off, you know. And then Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum not really playing well. And then your bench is just, you know, a no-show the entire series outside of the fourth quarter of game one. I mean, I love me some Peyton Pritchard. I love Derek White. But damn, did they no-show the last three games of this series.
Yep.
I mean, and Grant Williams, throw him in there. I mean, you look at them. White, 2 points, a minus 26 last night in 16 minutes. Pritchard, no points for the second straight game, a minus 20 in 7 minutes. That's tough to do. And Grant Williams, he had 1 3-point play in 15 minutes, a minus 18. That's, I mean, you talk about, yes, you superstars need to step up, but you need something from your bench.
Right.
I mean, Poole and Wiggins, I mean, they were there when they needed to be. And when the Celtics finally got back into it, down eight, bang, 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 Celtics would hit a three. Warriors right back with a three. Celtics get a quick two. Warriors right back with a two and then a turnover. They were there every step of the way. And for this team to get to the next step, I just don't know if, you know, if Marcus Smart, and I hate to put it on him, but if he's the right mix. I mean, I almost think at this point, this team needs a true point guard. And obviously, Pritchard's not ready to take over that role. Derek White needs to be more consistent. Maybe can be that. Don't know. We'll take a whole season playing together. But if I'm them, I'm taking a hard look at Marcus Smart because, let's be honest, you had Smart. How did he react to his benching early in the season? Early in the series?
Thank you.
Not well. Draymond Green, how did he react to his benching? Very well. Those two guys, I think, are very similar, and they could have done the same thing for the Celtics and Smart that Green did for the Warriors, and it just never happened. And I pose it to you guys. I mean, where do you go from here if you're Brad Stevens?
Where do you go from here? You pick up your Kevin Garnett-like person for Jason Tatum because you hit it on the head. Paul Pierce wasn't going anywhere until Kevin Garnett walked through the door. Paul Pierce was a Jason Tatum before Garnett got there. So right now the Celtics need to move a couple of pieces. Doesn't have to be as good as Garnett, but he needs to be a leader, a veteran leader who's been there before to show Tatum how how to get there and how to act and how to be a leader. He needs somebody on the team. It's not Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart's not the guy. If I'm trading 1 and 3, it's Marcus Smart, and I'm getting myself a Garnett-like guy to lead the way for Tatum, because he needs somebody to guide him. Udoka can't do it from the bench. He needs somebody on the court showing him the way, and he definitely needs it, because he can be a superstar, but he's got to learn how to get there. He's got to learn to stop complaining, stop whining, stop hunting for fouls. He can be it. He just needs somebody to help him along the way. Everybody has needed somebody to guide them. He desperately needs somebody, and the Celtics need to find that person. But as you said, a true point guard who could lead the way. And it's a tough task for him, but I think Kevin, they can find somebody out there. It's just a matter of who.
Two things that obviously the demeaning, Joe, you mentioned the bitching and the fouls, the complaining, and then we saw that last night. And one thing that really pissed me off, and I'm glad Udoka said something about it, it was midway through the fourth quarter, I think, when Tatum went in for a contested layup. He made it, and he was bumped. And on the way back, he was crying at the official. And it was either Van Gundy or Jackson had said, Ime Udoka's, he's telling Jason Tatum just basically get down and play some ball. And that was a snapshot of what's wrong with this team. And it's not just Tatum. It's systematic. I mean, this team is too busy, instead of just playing ball, hunting for stuff, like fouls and call fouls. So there's something in that demeanor that has to change. Is it going to go down to personnel? When I saw this team go out 14-2 last night and didn't respond, you know what they looked like to me the rest of the game? The Brooklyn Nets in round one, when they couldn't handle the Celtics defense and it was just playground basketball. That's what I saw the Celtics play last night. The same thing I saw from Brooklyn in all the series, which I highly criticized them for having no direction. I don't know if that's the case, but there's something wrong in this locker room. I don't think you could bring this everyone intact. I'm talking about the major guys. Robert Williams, I love him every day. That wingspan, he was the best player on the floor last night next to Horford. What does that tell you? In my opinion. He swats balls. He is a cornerstone defensive player. You have him. You can build. Honestly, you can take Tatum Brown and build with Robert Williams. Because I honestly think, JC, you pointed it out, Marcus Smart pouted when he was benched in the fourth quarter of game one. And he was never the same after that. Not only shooting, defense. We talked about him defensively, how he can shut down Stephen Curry. Didn't do it. He didn't shut down Jimmy Butler. So how important is that Defensive Player of the Year award, and what does it mean? Because he didn't step up when he had to in big games. So you want to talk about Tatum offensively? Pin it on Smart defensively, because that's your guy who self-admitted himself as the guy, and I'm paraphrasing, the pulse, the guy who kind of the nucleus of this team, if you will. He's basically said that, and he didn't step up. I'm going to say it right now. Come opening day next year, or whatever that is, Marcus Smart will not be on this team. He will not. That's right now, 6/28, on June 17th of 2022. I have no prior knowledge. I have no sources. I have no Apple Watch. I'm just saying something's got to happen. And I think Udoka's, and if Udoka's going to be the coach of this team, it's going to happen his way. And I think that's what he should, because he's earned that right, Emil Udoka. JC.
Yeah, I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. And, you know, Marcus Smart, you know, we always say, well, defensive player of the year, you know, we got to have him. Love the effort. Winning plays. He makes winning plays, right?
Yep.
Who the hell did he stop in this postseason?
Nobody.
Because he certainly didn't stop Kyrie Irving in round one. He certainly didn't stop, you know, anybody from the Bucks. He certainly didn't stop Jimmy Butler. And he certainly didn't stop Stephen Curry or Poole or Thompson or anybody he was on. So I'm not saying he's not a good player. He's just an overinflated ego player who thinks he's on the level of these other guys. And he's just not there. Therefore, he shouldn't be making the money that he's making. You know, so I think Udoka's the perfect guy with Stevens to say, listen, I didn't draft him. I didn't bring him here.
Not my guy.
I'm here to make this team better. So I think Udoka is that no-nonsense guy. You know, we hear, you know, rumblings that he walked in, you know, to the huddle, you know, called his team a bunch of a-holes. When you start playing, you know. I like the moxie, you know. He's played the game. He knows what it takes. He wasn't a superstar, but he's a trench guy. He's a journeyman guy. He knows what it takes to play the game. So he's going to call these guys on the thing. But how many times can you tell Marcus Smart to, you know, not showboat and try to make behind-the-back passes or throw it into the middle of the defense or take, you know, three after three after three or tell Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to stop dribbling into crowds? You can only do that so much. And that's I felt for him last night during that 21-0 run. Timeout, timeout, timeout. The dude was going to go through all his timeouts and leave nothing for the second half. He was willing to do that. But they just would not listen. And so we talk about, I don't think he lost the voice of anybody, but I think he sees the limitations with these guys, that he needs the guy on the floor that can say, enough. Enough with this stuff.
Yep.
Enough the way we're playing offense. Get this shit together. And that's what they need. Marcus Smart can't do that. It's not a skill set. He's not a true point guard. He doesn't know how to do that. I'm screaming in my mind last night, man, Rajon Rondo would be perfect for this team. You know, whether it be rookie Rondo with Garnett and Pierce, or even Rondo today would be better than what Marcus Smart was giving you this series. And they got to find that guy. And that guy that understands the game, understands the X's and O's of what it needs to be to take these guys to the next level when they kind of check out. So it'll be up to Stevens. I think, you know, I think he'll be here another year or two as the president of the team. I think he wants to win it before he leaves and goes back to coaching wherever. I think they really take a hard look. They don't have any free agents this year that they have to take care of. So it's going to be by trade. Somebody out there will overpay for Marcus Smart.
No question about it.
Or even give you value to what you need. So we'll see. We'll see. And also look at, you know, how he values the rest of that bench, seeing how they played in the finals. And I just want to ask you guys this one thing. We talk about the Patriots, you know, saying, well, we're going to stay the course. And the jump from year one to year two will be enough to get you over the hump.
Right.
Can you say the same thing about the Celtics team now going from year one of Udoka's and the talent on this team to year two?
I can say yes if we get rid of Smart because we have our new defensive player of the year. His name is Williams. He's the shot blocking specialist that showed at 75%, he gave his all. I'd rather have him than the effort or lack of effort that Marcus Smart gave in this finals. So I think somebody, like you said, is going to overpay for Marcus Smart and get what he can, get a true point guard on the team, and maybe pick up another big man instead of Tice. And I think we can go somewhere.
I think you got to kind of look at the landscape of the East, and they're going to be a favorite again to get there. They will be as long as these guys are together. Udoka's there, Tatum and Brown. They're going to be a favorite to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. We know that. But if you look at the landscape and how things happen, you beat Brooklyn, who was they're a hot mess, and they were, and they're going to get better. With or without Irving, they will get better because there's some talent there, and Durant's still a stud, in my opinion. And you look at Milwaukee. If Chris Middleton is healthy, how does that series change? We don't know. Chris Middleton's a great complement to Giannis. So that series in seven games, that could have turned out differently. Miami, there was a mass unit in Miami. And Jimmy Butler had to do it all himself in game six. So that could have been different. So I think if you look at the whole landscape, and it was a good year, and I said at the beginning of the year, expectations change, mind you, that if they get to the final, it's an accomplishment because they hadn't been there with this group. the expectations did change after they came out the first 50 games and played 500, and the expectation changed, and we expected them to get to the final, and they did. But I don't think you can sit on this, JC, and kind of go in with that same mentality and bring the band back together, if I may use air quotes, because it just doesn't work, I think, initially because teams are going to get better around him, so they need to find ways to get better. And I think deep down in their heart of hearts, they probably know what they have to do because of how they were exposed by a better team in the Golden State Warriors, at least for the series, much less the three games. Maybe the best thing they've happened to Boston. So, but I'm telling you this, I got a Boston fans who threw F-bombs at Draymond Green, how does his ass taste? How does his ass taste? Because be careful what you wish for, because in the NBA, the fans affect the game, in my opinion, more than any of the four major sports, because they're right there. And you incited him that I'm going to get better. You probably incited the coach to bench him and sit him down for a minute, and look what happened. He shut your pie holes up. Draymond Green, I'd love him on my team. I'd love him on the Celtics. But he made you eat your words. So, again, be careful what you wish for, because there are some fans out there that, whether you call it classy or not, just be careful what you wish for. And he got to, he has the last word. Any final thoughts before we move on to wrestling, JC?
Yeah, just two things. One, on the fans, hey, they thought back to cash in the receipts that they were talking. And it just wasn't there, you know. So, you know, it's like, you know, Omos and MVP getting into a ring where MVP talks smack, expecting Omos to take care of him, and then Omos just climbs over the top rope and says, see ya, you know. So that's kind of where that is. And I wanted to ask you guys, what did you make last night's press conference where they threw Tatum out with Marcus Smart? I thought that was really odd. They protected Tatum by not putting him out there by himself, which he normally does, but put him out there with Marcus Smart.
Joe, you go ahead.
I didn't see it, and it's like, but why would they do it? I don't know. It's like, why would you even put him out there with Marcus Smart? Because the big mouth of the team, he get out there with him. Yeah, so he does all the talking, and Tatum can just shut it. Because he just didn't seem excited enough through the whole playoffs. Nothing. He just seemed happy to be there, and that is internal fortitude needs to change moving forward. Simple as that.
Definitely a smoke. They're protecting Jason for two reasons, because I think that was the first time all playoffs that he didn't take the podium alone. I could be wrong, but I think that's true. Marcus Smart got to the podium first, and he looked a little impatient, so I think he waved, like, can we get this underway, while Jason was talking. So I really believe that was maybe to put these guys together to say maybe nothing's wrong here, guys, and maybe we're blowing too much proportion out of the rift here, if you will. But that was definitely protection for Jason Tatum, who obviously was visibly shaken, which may be a good thing, JC. But that's my thing. I think they protected their commodity, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, it kind of speaks volumes that he needed that protection.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, it's a wrap. Basketball is over. Golden State. Hey, give Golden State credit for what they did. Fourth title in 8 years. 3 years ago, they were 15-50, last place, right? In game six of the previous year, they lost Klay Thompson. So it's been 3 years, 4 years. Last time they won the title, or they were in the final, they lost Klay Thompson in game six. They've never been the same since up until this year. So it's a great accomplishment, because now it's the rebirth of a dynasty. And now we're seeing something that hasn't been done. Because, JC, you mentioned and I'll get your comments on this if you guys want, but I want to pay homage to them, because Curry's a stud, and this team now is on the verge, 4th and 8. You're talking about Michael Jordan territory with the Bulls, who won 6 and 9, I believe, 6 and 8, which they can do. There's another dynasty brewing with this team, the Golden State Warriors, and they ain't going nowhere soon, because you still got a few years left in Thompson and Curry and Green. And by the way, those three guys, Thompson, Curry, and Green, are right up there with some of the all-time three-headed monsters in NBA history as far as finals appearances and what they do, because they're right up there. That Warriors team is carving the niche, is one of the better teams in the history of the league. You guys want to comment on it? You don't have
yeah,
to.
I love that they enjoyed the moment last night, and they really savored everything, because if you look back, the first championship, Cavs were without Irving and Love.
Yep.
2-3 was with Kevin Durant, and we all know what comes with that. And last night, they were a team, as you said, written off. Too many injuries. They were the worst team in basketball. Didn't even get to the bubble. You know, and here they are. Stephen Curry getting his, and you know, his finals MVP and just savoring it, because it was a true team moment. I mean, we go back to, I remember after game one, we were talking about ESPN in the ridiculous index. The Celtics have an 86% chance to win this series, which we all said was a joke, because the Warriors were a good team and we knew they would rally.
Right.
And it was just good because Curry finally gets his due. He's more than just a shooter who can launch it from 30 to 40 feet. I mean, how I would need like four more hands to count how many times he blew past a Celtics defender driving to the hoop last night.
Yep.
He understood his shot wasn't there like it was early in the series when he scored 43, tied the series. In game 5 and 6, he was back to being pedestrian. And he just blew past Williams and Horford and Smart again and again and again. And every time his team needed a basket, he was there. True leader. I still don't buy this whole thing where Curry is a top 10 player all time. I'm not going that far. But the dude has cemented this team as a dynasty.
Right. Joe, any thoughts?
Yeah, he was refreshed to be fresh. Oh, wait, that was a commercial.
No. Nice. Good one.
Look, guy's good. He played well. He changed his game. He didn't have the scoring. His ankle probably wasn't the same, but speaking of which, is a guy who played through an injury.
Yep.
And he's not going to tell you how much he was hurting, but he played through it. Didn't whine, didn't complain, and still willed his team to a win. And it's, hey, look, I like this team, and I love the fact that they did it without Durant, because it's like Durant's taking, everybody's giving Durant credit for two of the championships.
Right.
This Florida team's still there, and it's like, you know, they took, Wiggins was trashy. He's been let go three times.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, he's reborn in the finals. And God bless him. It's like, you know, they got guys, and they got role players to do their jobs. Something the Celtics didn't have. The role players did their job and stepped up when needed to help out the guy when he didn't have his game.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to Golden State. It's like, you know what? Just as Jason said, is it hurt enough? Can it hurt enough of these guys to learn from it? Because you never know about your mistakes. You need to learn from the mistakes. Can they learn from the mistakes? Only time will tell.
And JC, Eddie Hales, before we move on to wrestling, I agree. I came with some of the fans who left last night. I want to get into that, because I know if I was there paying good money, even though the Celtics lost, I wouldn't leave early, because you would think history. Stephen Curry is a guy, whether you like him or not, you look back years from now, like we did Michael Jordan, and say, man, it was a pleasure just to watch this guy play. And that's what he is. I agree, JC. Top 10, I'm not sure all time, but one thing's for sure. One of the greatest shooters I've ever seen, and I don't think it's an argument, in our lifetimes. And that's something you really have to appreciate just from a basketball sports standpoint. And it's a pleasure to see these guys, the best of the business, the best of the best, the best in the world, doing what they do at the top of the game. And he's fun to watch, man. I never was a big fan of the mouth guard and not his mouth, but pretty hard to hate Steph Curry because he is a great shooter. And it's off to them. And they're back ruling again, and we'll see what happens to them. But they celebrate their fourth title in 8 years and a dynasty once again in the Golden State Warriors. This is the Going Old School Show. Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you for about another 15, 20 minutes or so, give or take, 515-602-9730, live on blogtalkradio.com. It is June 17th of 2022. And, JC, we talk wrestling. You guys, wrestling connoisseurs, at least compared to me, I'm not going to argue, but lots going on in the world of the WWE, JC, and we'll start with the CEO and one Vince McMahon, and tell us what your thoughts are, because I know you follow it, I know you tapped in a little bit. What are you thinking, what's on your mind, and what's up with Vince? I mean, this is The Union's taking a hit, in your opinion?
Oh, there's no question. This is the biggest hit to what he is about since the U.S. government put him on trial for steroids back in the 80s. I mean, right. There is a real shot that he gets forced out here because it came out this morning that he was stepping back. He's not stepping down. He's stepping back as CEO and chairman of the WWE. His daughter, Stephanie McMahon, takes over in an interim basis, and what makes that odd is she herself was on a leave of absence as the brand manager for the WWE, so she comes back, you know. But Vince McMahon is still going to be a character. He's going to be on SmackDown tonight. We'll see how he addresses any of this. I'm sure he won't address particulars because that's just ridiculous when there's an ongoing investigation by the board of directors. But he'll do it in character form, and let's be honest, this is all about ratings, so it's on Fox tonight. They already have Reigns versus Riddle for the Undisputed Universal title. So, yeah, there are going to be tons of eyeballs on this because this isn't a wrestling story. This is a mainstream media business story.
Exactly.
The Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, they're covering this story. They uncovered the fact that the board of directors for the WWE for 3 months has been looking into Vince McMahon and did he have relationship with a paralegal and basically paid her hush money to not say disparaging things about him.
Yep.
We know that she signed a non-disclosure agreement, and there's rumors that when she was brought on, her salary was $100,000, and then once they started the relationship with Vince, it immediately went to $200,000, and that she got a $3 million payment for this non-disclosure agreement. Now, whether it was Vince's money, whether it was the company's money, it's all being put in this, and there are rumblings that there are other cases involving him and also John Laurinaitis, who is the head of talent relations. So it is a mess. It is an absolute mess, and what the WWE does with this has ramifications as a billion-dollar industry. It isn't just wrestling, so, you know, that's going to be the interesting part of what goes forward with this because they've never made as much money as they are making right now. Go back to the days of the 60s when his dad ran the company, in the 80s with WrestleMania, in the Attitude Era. They are making billions of dollars. And that's because of Vince and also because of Nick Khan, who was brought in from an agency to build up these media rights, these digital rights. So who knows? There's rumors that, you know, there are people that want Vince out to kind of sell the company. Who knows? But wouldn't it be interesting if after everything that's happened, Triple H's heart attack, Stephanie McMahon leaving, coming back, that Vince gets forced out? Very interesting times, folks.
Yep.
Boy, she had some good bait on that hook for freaking finding herself a sugar daddy. Or, I don't know what that means, but man, she had some good bait on that hook and reeled herself in a real big sugar daddy. Because, man, but rumors have it, you know, JC, the rumors have it that Attitude Era, all the way back to the steroid era, this isn't the only one they've ever paid hush money to. And it's like, and unfortunately, that's all going to come to a head. It's all going to come out. And there's more than one supposedly that got paid billions of dollars, millions of dollars to shut their mouths. And will it all come out? Will it come? And, you know, Vince, he's a stubborn mule. And he's going to fight this tooth and nail, but will he have no choice but to step away? Look, he's stepping away, but will he have no choice but to, like, give up the reins and just, like, give it up and say, okay, I give, raise the white flag. That's it for me. And I don't know, I think it would be good for the WWE because I know Vince is a workaholic, but his forthright creativeness wasn't the greatest at the end. At one time it was great, but over the last 5 years, creative team has sucked, to be honest with you. It's just like they could have went and they would go back on their ways and they just went carving a good path. And it's just, I know they're making tons of money, but still they've rehashed creative ways to the point of they need some fresh blood in there. They need new thoughts. And let's see if we go that way. Tonight should be fun to watch.
JC, two-part question. Can they benefit from this, meaning the WWE, in some way, shape, or form? And number two is, didn't Stephanie retire to take care of Triple H, your husband? And what kind of – does that play into the pride with Vince and maybe just don't take this as far because he looks at his daughter, who now is forced to do something that she kind of stepped away from for a minute, maybe against her will, maybe not want to, maybe there's a family rift there. And so how much does Vince's arrogance play into that? So can they benefit as a company? And is Vince just too arrogant enough, too conceited enough, and too stubborn enough to just not let this, to just basically say, you know what, I screwed up in some way, shape, or form, and do the right thing morally?
Yeah, I mean, first part of the question, it seems like the WWE always turns a negative into a positive. So, yes, short term, they can make this into a positive starting tonight. They can pop a big number. They usually do about 1.9 to 2.2 million viewers. We'll see if that gets to 2.5. Maybe it gets to 3. Who knows, with all the extra exposure with mainstream media. Because when CNBC is covering you, there are eyeballs that don't watch wrestling on Friday night that will be tuning in just to see what Vince McMahon does tonight. So otherwise, Stephanie McMahon, you know, it was curious the timing when she left. Because it was about the time that the investigation started. So did she know about it and said, hey, I'm checking out of Dodge. I want no part of this, which is possible. Mm-hmm. Obviously, her husband, Triple H, had a heart attack. He's back to work, you know, full time. And she knows what Vince did to him, taking away all his powers with NXT and all his creativity. So there could be a little, you know, little pride factor there that says, you know what? I'll be the one that cleans up the, you know, mess for the family. Because, listen, Vince is looked at as the devil by most of his employees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outside of the John Cena's, Roman Reigns of the world, you know, everybody else sees him as the devil, as the person who's stopping things. They look at Stephanie as the one who, she takes care of us. She allows creativity. She allows it to be a good working involvement. So maybe, you know, that's the avenue. On its face, though, it's very transparent that in this Me Too era, that this is a play by the WWE to get a female out front and say, we're going to take care of this and do our due diligence. The question will be, will they really do their due diligence with the law firm that they came in to do the investigation with the board of directors? I hope they do, because Vince, while he's done a great job on the business side, they're making boatloads of money. Like Joe said, creativity, they need fresh. They need new voices. They need to move into the 21st century, into 2023. And Vince is still stuck in his old ways, unfortunately. The dude's a freaking genius, but he's not a genius in 2022. So I almost, not that you ever want to see bad things happen to people.
Right.
But listen, if she was paid $3 million, she's not doing badly. If Vince has to go away and the WWE will continue to live on forever, like they say, then now forever together,
yep.
It's, you know, maybe this is what they actually need, you know. It be forced, but it might be good for them in the long run.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, look, it's Vince was stubborn and he wasn't changing. By forcing this, it may be a blessing in disguise. It could be a blessing in disguise. And he's got his money. And it's like, you know, Stephanie coming back, you know, I know she's taking care of her husband, but this could be good for the family. It could be good for the business. So, as you said, JC, they always tend to turn a negative into a positive. So it's like, you know, he could, look, you never know how he goes. It's like he could throw a bombshell out there tonight. You never know. You know, Vince, he loves to throw bombshells out there. So tonight is going to be.
It's true. And you know, the funny thing I think about this is, you know, I see people online saying, oh, what about Linda McMahon? I mean, if you follow the, you know, the story about the family, those two haven't been really married in daily practice for a couple of decades.
Right.
They're just in it because it makes sense financially and for the public brand. That's
yep.
it.
Then I question
yeah, they
you.
Have, they've been married on paper. That's about it.
I have a question for JC, and you guys finish the show, and I'll count you down on via text. Obviously, give us the Randy Orton update, JC, after this. But can the AEW benefit from this, basically recruiting, if this brand takes a serious hit?
You would think so, but they're having their own troubles. I mean, they're putting on – they just came off their best pay-per-view of all time, money-wise, All or Nothing – and yet their ratings continue to go down. They're pumping up this Forbidden Door pay-per-view that they're co-branding with New Japan Wrestling of all sorts of, you know, unbelievable matches that we've never seen before. Yet two nights ago on Dynamite, they lost 20% of their audience. They pulled 700,000 viewers. So they're not capitalizing it. And let's be honest, Warner Media with Discovery in their merger, they're looking to cut $3 billion. So, you know, they have to worry about that. And, of course, Shad Khan's going to say, hey, I need, you know, some return on my investment. So you would think that they would get some rub, but the more and more WWE guys they keep pulling in, they just brought in Ember Moon, Flash Athena, they brought in Malcolm Bivens, you know, and they brought in everybody else, and it still hasn't helped them get off the mainstream hump. So I don't know. What do you think, Joe?
Well, the problem with helping them, John, is the fact of, yeah, you brought in the old, all the guys that WWE's letting go, but then you're kind of, when was the last time before last week or the week before that the Young Bucks actually wrestled? It's Omega, Kenny Omega injured. The guys that were there originally, Moxley, and all the original guys. So you're getting all the new WWE guys, which are kind of like getting kicked out because Vince wasn't doing anything and were they really good anyways. And then you're just kicking the guys that started AEW and built up the brand, and you're kicking them to the side. And it's like, so the original fans you brought in are kind of getting turned off by the fact that you're taking the guys that were there to start off this, and you're kind of like, you're forgetting about them. You've got too many wrestlers and not enough time. It's just not enough time to have the matches. And you're having pay-per-view quality matches every week. So your pay-per-views are hurting. So there's only so much talent you can take in before you oversaturated, which was Vince's problem.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, this whole thing with New Japan, they're going to be fantastic wrestling matches. But honestly, I don't care about most of these guys because you don't see them every week unless you go on, you know, streaming services and watch this show or you go on Access TV. There's just not of an interest, a connection to them to come in for the one thing. And as you said, Joe, they're burning more and more TV time in order to get a rating pop, which they're not getting. And, you know, you look at the ratings from Wednesday night. You had Chris Jericho in a hair versus hair match and then the Young Bucks in a ladder match. And from the time that Jericho won at 8:20 to the time that the Young Bucks won the tag team championship at 10 o'clock, you lost 250,000 viewers, which can't happen if you're AEW, especially when the Young Bucks should be something that should be appointment viewing for AEW viewers. But instead, they walked out.
So basically what should have probably happened is the Young Bucks start off the show and go with Jericho at the end. Get people in, get people invested, watch, because the Young Bucks are one of the best tag teams out there, talent-wise and work-wise. And then you have Jericho at the end, because Jericho's going to get people following. You're going to get the Jericho followers anyway. But there's more Young Bucks, so you get them in tune right away, and then you get them invested in the whole show. But it just doesn't seem like they've got enough people calling the right shots.
Yeah, sometimes I think Tony Khan as much of a wrestling, you know, aficionado that he is, sometimes I think he outthinks himself, and I think he's done that with Wardlow and, you know, how he's handled him lately. And they should be making him build him up, not fighting security guards, because that's beneath him.
Right. I agree with that. It's like, who wants to watch a wrestler security guards because it's like, oh, here we go with this freaking garbage again. It's like, that's like circus actors. Like, really? You could be wrestling somebody.
Final 2 minutes, JC. What's the update on Randy Orton? Looks like he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, we were all led to believe that, you know, it was part of the angle and that Orton would be fine to face Reigns at SummerSlam. But, you know, according to people around Randy Orton, he could be out the rest of the year with that back injury. And, you know, he's going back to see the neurosurgeon. So, you know, you wish it would be something more positive for him because he has done some of his best work in the last 2 years, especially with Riddle. And, you know, it's an amazing time in wrestling, in every company, injuries with everybody these days.
Well, I'll be tuning in tonight. It seems like it's, if you're a wrestling fan, maybe a sports fan or an entertainment fan nonetheless, or a Vince McMahon fan or hater, it's pretty much must see TV tonight, Friday Night SmackDown. Guys, gentlemen, guys, JC, Jill, always a pleasure, man. Thanks so much for carving out a little over an hour here on a Friday afternoon. You and your families, appreciate it.
John, good job.
Thanks, boys, and don't forget, Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, guys. And like, as I said, John, good must-see TV. Is this Ms. TV?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what, guys? Hey, let's baseball snippet. Good pitching matchup at Fenway tonight. Michael Wacha versus Adam Wainwright. I like that. Two former Cardinals getting on. Cardinals are a good team to watch.
Wacha.
That'll be a good pitching matchup. Anyway, guys, appreciate you. Appreciate your time. And say hi to your family. Then I'll talk to you real soon. All the best.
Enjoy the game Sunday, John.
Thanks, man. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there. Joe, John, a special one to you guys. Enjoy it. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the weather. Be nice to yourselves. Be nice to your people around you. Be courteous. And take care. Be well. Be safe, guys. It's a crazy world out there. Bear with it. And things will be fine. But to each and every one of you. And thanks to Lou from New Jersey for giving us his take on some things. And we'll talk to you all really, really soon. Have a great weekend, everybody.